You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
I have never seen panic in your eyes like what I just witnessed. Because we're in the backup studio and you were off last week. And when we're in our usual digs, you can control your own mic.
Yeah, it's just very simple. On, off. On, off. And just before we came on, I said, where the hell's the button?
And who and the grappler who's in here, because Mullen never works Mondays anymore. Mullen hasn't worked a Monday since 2018. The grappler goes, I have to control your mic.
That is a dangerous game. It's a big responsibility, because if something goes awry, I fully blame the grappler. Because he's in control, he's got to do his job.
Oh, man, it is a really dangerous game. If you don't have control of your mic, you lose sight of it, right? It's like,
well,
what
you're
I
an idiot because there's a red light like 5 inches from your eyeballs.
But you get comfortable, man. It's like the show Big Brother. How many times have I used that analogy? The first 2 or 3 days in the Big Brother house, they're all cognizant of the fact that the cameras are on. They're on their best behavior.
Then there's the little sneaky plays of jumping in other people's beds.
Yes, and picking their nose. And, you know, you forget about it. You get
comfortable.
Digging,
sniffing your underpants.
Right. The German coach, that whole routine.
Yes.
And that'll be us by the second segment. You'll totally forget that you don't have control of your mic.
No. We've been doing this long enough where any kind of red light, you're on.
All right. Well, how was your week? We missed you last week.
What a week.
Unbelievable down there.
What a week. The fiance and I had a great week.
Are you going to address that or not?
Yeah, I'm engaged. I'm engaged. I've said fiance numerous times before.
Do you know how? I've never seen Twitter blow up more, and I've let it slide because it's your, you know, it's your news, and we're all very excited for you and your fiance.
Yeah.
But there was about a 3-year stretch where you were very, very confident that that would never happen again.
Well, the first year after getting divorced, you're quite committed to never doing it again.
But now you're in with both feet and it's all good.
Yeah. Very happy. Very good. Had a wonderful trip. Met some awesome people. Got a new best buddy. Was in a wedding party.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Look at you with the wedding parties. Vegas,
well,
Mexico.
It wasn't really a wedding party. My buddy, Billy McDonald from Texas. We met him early on, and we had a group of people that we all did everything together, and he said, we're renewing the vows Wednesday on the beach. We'd like you guys to be there.
That's great.
So we all went down there, watched Billy renew the vows, 20 years.
How Texan was Billy McDonald?
The most Texan person you've ever met in your life. He has, like, we were just talking about, like, you know, gun. He's like, yeah, I got gun, like, guns in my house.
Oh, naturally. I'd be shocked if he didn't have a gun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm serious.
Like,
I was just joking.
Sure. I'm like, what? You got probably multiple guns. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I got a.
Like, for fun or for protection?
I guess for protection. And I flat out asked him, I'm like, what is it called? An AR-50? We're not going to get it. But I'm like, why do you need that? He's like, I protect my house that way. That's kind of just the way of life for them. And that's the way they roll.
Yeah, I guess so down there. You're right.
But what a place, man. That was my first all-inclusive.
Oh, you've never done that before?
Never. Never, and it was bang on.
It's outstanding.
Yeah.
It's a great operation. The problem is, you'll notice, Noodles isn't here today. Now, Noodles was working last week.
Steph poisoned the family.
Steph was on an all-inclusive herself down in the Bahamas, and I guess Steph came back, and the kids are sick. Now, Steph was sick. She was here for like an hour this morning, and now she's gone.
And now Noodles is just full Harry Dunn. I called him on the way in to find out what the hell was going on. You know what he said? He goes, hang on a sec, I'm just puking. I go, I'll call you later then. You don't have to, what are you answering your phone for?
Yeah, why would he answer that phone?
Yeah. He's like, I'm puking, give me a sec. I go, bud, just, I'll call you
he
later.
He loves his details because we had the text chain going this morning. And he's like, I think I can fight through it, I'll come in. But he gave like full details and we're like, just say you're not feeling well. I don't need the full details about what you are going through.
And don't come back here until you are 100%.
Absolutely.
I don't want any part of that.
No, I have no interest, especially in this, whatever you would call this. It's not a studio. There's no ventilation in here.
No.
There's nothing.
No. It'll just seep into our lives and we're done.
Yeah, we're in a trench. I mean, it's bad enough. Al's been kind of sick the past couple of days, and he's not feeling right, and you're sitting right beside him. So...
Now, if you have anything like Steph has and I get sick, I will personally blow up your car. I'm not dealing with this because you decide you have to come into work.
He's not. I don't think he's fluish, but Al's just had like a cold and a cough. He'll be sneezing on you at some point this afternoon.
No, he won't be.
So be ready for that. But we might call up Noodles at some point this hour because this was a show that was made in the shade for Noodles. because we're actually going to have some backup goaltender talk today. And you weren't a goalie. I wasn't a goalie. Noodles was one of the more prominent backup goalies in the history of the National Hockey League. And he was there because of his talents. He was there because he could play. It wasn't like, you know, this was house league where everyone gets a chance. But Noodles was a guy, like, across the board, everyone that played with him loved him. He was the first guy on the ice, the last guy off the ice, setting up the parties. And that's kind of the role that Garrett Sparks should be playing. But instead, Sparks, who isn't really supplying much goaltending when he's in there, that said, Saturday night was not because of Garrett Sparks. No. You missed it last week. That was the worst week for this team I've experienced in years.
I watched zero of it, but before I came into work, I got on NHL.com, and I watched every goal against, and I was shocked.
23 goals against in four games.
Yeah.
23.
And I mean, just, it's the perfect storm of garbage. Terrible goaltending, brutal assignments, missed assignments, bad giveaways, total lack of focus. It was awful to watch. I was watching it. I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching this. And everyone's like, what is your level of concern? Are you concerned this or that? The concern is, if they're anywhere close to that come playoff time, it's four games and done.
No, they don't have a shot come the spring.
Like, zero shot. Four games and done, because that is just not going to happen.
No.
And there is a freakout level where people still have to understand. They're going to be a 100-point team. Okay?
Oh, they're in.
They're
like,
in,
the Habs
yes,
are 10
they're
points
in.
Back.
But they
in.
Have to get it together. And I understand that Dermott's out, Gardner's out, but the lack of depth on D is showing up, because that is a huge hole. And I don't know, they have to make some kind of adjustment, because what I watched, those highlights I've watched of those goals, and I couldn't believe my phone. Every morning I'd look, it's like six goals against, seven goals. What the hell's going on?
Well, they got lucky that Philly allowed them back into the game.
No,
they had no right to
no
pick
business.
Up even 2 points.
No business.
The whole week.
Any team with any kind of killer instinct would have smoked them after
Absolutely.
That.
And then they go into Ottawa, the worst team in the league. The worst team in the league. And they got
just
smoked.
Just get spanked.
Yeah. No, they look like a team. They want to play shinny right now. Like, they're allergic to grinding. They're allergic to defensive play.
What about a body? Like, it is a physical contact sport. What about a body check?
They're not. They're capable of doing it.
What
but
about
they have
a cross
no interest
check
in
front
it.
Of the net? How many goals have you seen scored where there's five of the opposition in front of the net? Wouldn't you want to just cross check somebody in the back?
Well, JVR, who I know that's their buddy because he played here, but did you see the one goal he scored where he was on top of Freddie Anderson? And I think it was Hainsey and Riley who were basically just
staring at him.
They were sweeping. It was like curling. Like, they were sweeping with him.
It was incredible to watch. But
that's on the players, though. Yeah. And they still have a couple of weeks here to figure it out. You got 10 more games. You got a tough one tomorrow night in Nashville. It doesn't have to be the end of the world.
I'll tell you what, though.
It doesn't have to be, no. But it's on them to figure out whether or not they want it to be.
Well, it's on the coaches. And, like, Mike Babcock makes a lot of money to figure this stuff out. So go ahead and do it.
But how do you spice up intensity? You know, let's play the Garrett Sparks clip here. Grappler, have that, because, you know, there's a lot to get into because of the source of the commentary. This is a guy who's hanging on by a thread to an NHL career. And it's not like he's exactly Patrick Waugh himself in terms of his own play. But it's a classic, he's not wrong, but commentary. This is
Sparks
post-game on Saturday.
Let's hear the clip, and I'll give you the but.
We need more emotion. I'm an emotional player. I need more emotion. We need more emotion from everybody. We need people to get angry. We need people to step up and be mad and take it personally.
So he's not wrong. Like, none of that is wrong. If Austin Matthews says that, we're like, okay, let's see what you got. If Tavares or Morgan Riley or Ron Hainsey or Patrick Marleau says that. But when it's Garrett Sparks, who's the backup goalie, that's going to cause a problem in the room potentially. I mean, you can speak to it as a vet. If a backup who's barely been in the league said that to you or said that on your behalf, how would you react?
You know what? I always believe that no matter what, it's not like junior hockey where you have to go by the code. Everyone that's got an NHL jersey, they can say whatever they want. But when you are the backup goaltender who just let in six, you do not go to the media and rip the team and say, we need emotion, we need this. You can do that inside the locker room if you really want. And somebody might tell you to shut up and sit down. Because when you give up six, you don't say much. You could say we need to work. When you give up six, because some of his garbage performances, what if Austin Matthews went out to the media and said, you know what, we just need better goaltending. That's our problem. Nobody called him out when he was garbage. So you don't do the same to your teammates in that position. Very simple. But you have an NHL jersey. You can say whatever you want. But after six, against, no way.
No, that's not going to fly. There's no way the players in the room are like, oh, great. That's an inspirational speech. Yeah. That's exactly what we needed.
Yeah. Maybe next time you want to go on the ice, bring your equipment with you.
Right. But this is, again, he's not wrong, but it's kind of sounded like he was a fan. Like if you went up to any Leaf fan on Saturday night and asked them what you would like to see more out of, they would say, just play the Garrett Sparks tape. What Sparks just said is exactly how I feel. And I would assume the head coach probably thinks it too. He doesn't want it coming from Garrett Sparks. He doesn't want it out publicly. You know that better than anybody being in the hockey world for 12 years. They don't want this kind of stuff out in the public. They'd prefer it to be behind closed doors. The same thing with Matthews a week ago where he came out and said they quit on Monday night. I can't imagine went that well behind the scenes. But this is a team that does seem to lack any emotion on the ice, lack any ability to fight through adversity when it comes their way. But more importantly, grind. You know, like, and I know that that's a word that it can be misconstrued. It's an intangible. It's something that Babcock, you know, spits out and a lot of people roll their eyes. But they're loaded with talent. Everybody knows that. And when the puck is going north, they're up and they're moving and they're flying through the neutral zone.
I disagree with you when you say they've got no grind, because a lot of times, and it's an indictment on the team, but they give up a lot of 2-0 leads. They get down two, but they come out and they somehow tie it up. So there is that grind there. This week, non-existent.
But you know what that grind is? There. That grind is to score goals. I'm not disputing their grind when it comes to putting up offense. Do they have the grind to win 1-0? I don't know if they do.
I don't know if they do
either. I don't know if they do, because what the grind to win 1-0 means, you get physical in your own end. You fight for that position in the front of the. You block a shot if you have to.
What about, do they have enough grind to play against the Boston Bruins and deal with that?
Well, we're
deal
gonna
with
find
Brad
out again.
Marchand, deal with Zdeno Chara, deal with Pasternak, Bergeron. That's where you got to know if they have enough grind. And right now you're looking at it saying, not even close.
And that's the thing. They got, what do they have? Two, three weeks to figure this out. And it's never going to be perfect. Like the way they're built on speed, skill, and Freddie.
I know, but if they
speed,
don't defend.
Speed, skill, and Freddie.
Twice a year I have to do poor defending clips on the pregame show about how they just stand around and watch people. They refuse to hit. It's all about skating, defending, gapping up, whatever. If you don't hit in the playoffs, you will lose. And I've told you this before. The NHL playoffs, more than any other major sport, it switches and it's a war zone in the playoffs. And if you can't change and adapt a little bit, I understand you want to have pace of play, have the puck. If you don't bring any of that, you're done. They'll be done against the Bruins in four games if they don't change at all.
Yeah. I can't fight you on any of that.
No, there's no arguing it.
You cannot fight it. It doesn't mean you have to fight or you have to pick, brawls in the scrum or start a scrum or what have you. But it's picking up a man, laying a guy out every once in a while.
Yeah.
Push cross-checking someone when he's in front of your net and stabbing at the puck when
because
Freddie's
trying
to
find him. Because guess what happens? When Austin Matthews, when John Tavares, when Mitch Marner and William Nylander have the puck, that's what always pissed me off about someone. Like when they get on the forecheck and they just do drive-bys, it's like those guys want to kill you every time you have the puck. When they have the puck, you at least want to try to finish them. You don't have to crush them into the third row. But finish your check.
Well, that's what they're made of, though, is the drive-by, right?
You know what? The Pittsburgh Penguins, they play an up-tempo game. But if you heard any of the videos afterwards of the coaching staff going into, you know, they have the recap, the run to the Stanley Cup. Mike Sullivan would always say, finish your checks. Everyone finish your checks.
Mm-hmm.
It's an important part for them, so it should be for everybody.
Absolutely. And I would be shocked if Babcock wasn't expressing that, wouldn't you? I would think Babcock is pushing that button. But it's on the players. That's why, you know, I think Leafs Lunch had this poll. Maybe it was the morning show first up. You know, where is your blame being placed right now in terms of what's up with this team and the way that they're built and the way that they're playing? And it was the options were players, coaches, management. For me, it's the players here, because the management has supplied skill. The coaching staff, are they perfect? No, but Babcock's not stupid. He knows what he's doing. And I think he's putting forth a system that if it's played properly, it can still be effective. And he's probably playing to their strengths. He knows they're not a big bruising team.
But isn't the defensive scheme, don't you think there's an element that the defensive scheme that he might want to play, they don't have the right personnel for it?
Well,
and that's where I believe the adjustment should be made. It's like if you got to maybe pull back and sit back a little bit with that D chord, especially the way it's constructed right now, that's an adjustment that should be made.
Well, and you can have
you can't force feed an up-tempo, in-your-face, gap-type defensive structure if you don't have the personnel because they just get burned.
You can have different rules for different players, too.
Or what about the ability to switch on the fly? Like, I don't know, you're in the best league in the world. You're one of the best players in the world to play in the NHL. If a coach says, like, I always understood why guys need a video meeting and chalkboard meetings. You switch from a 1-2-2 to a 2-1 or a trap in the neutral zone. How hard is that?
Well,
that's like, you know, you talk to a genius or somebody really smart that's talking about something. That's like hockey common stuff that it's easy for you. You should know that. Like nothing.
I hear you, but it doesn't seem to happen. You know, we talked about this last week with Ray, and Ray, because we pointed out other leagues in basketball. Sometimes you play man, sometimes you go to zone, sometimes you double team certain players.
You talked to
football,
Craig Button about his stories about the playoffs. It's like stories about Scotty Bowman or different coaches that they would play in opposition, get down 2-0, and say, "This has got to totally change on our part. We have to switch from this to that, because if we don't, we're getting crushed doing what we're doing right now."
Ideally, that would be the case. I mean, again, they don't have to completely worry about it right now until they meet Boston. You know, for the next 3 weeks, it's all about gearing up until you play the Bruins, because that is what's going to happen here. And they've effectively handed home ice to the Bruins. We're probably going to be in the same position we were a year ago. It feels like that is inevitable at this point. But I don't think there's anything wrong with having different rules for different players. Morgan Riley wants to gun it. But Jake Muzzin can't.
Exactly.
Nikita Zaitsev can't.
Same as New Jersey. Scott Niedermeyer, go and do whatever you want. Ken Danico, you're not.
Exactly. And that's you play to the strengths of what you have individually sometimes. But, you know, listen, the clock is on these guys because they're loaded with talent. The expectations haven't changed because of a week in terms of internally, I would imagine, and what they believe they can do. They're still a top 7 or 8 team in the league.
They sure are.
It was a terrible week. We all know they've got to get better defensively. They have to. You can't give up 23 goals in 4 games. You can't do that. You're just never going to be able to win. But they know that more than anybody else on the outside. So let's see what they've got. You know, let's see what you've got starting tomorrow night. That's a good test, man.
It's
you're going into a
test.
Nashville building. It'll be loud.
And it's amazing how the schedule works when you're struggling and you just want that layup game. Well, the layup game was supposed to be the Ottawa Senators, and you just can't pull that one off. And you look at the schedule, oh, Nashville, that's fun. Because if you want to play like that, what they did in Ottawa in the last couple games before that, you will get crushed by Nashville.
I think this is a perfect setup.
It is a perfect setup.
I would prefer
setup.
This than like a terrible team.
And you know what? They did have they had to channel a couple years ago. They was coming down the stretch, and they needed a big 2 points in Nashville before heading to Detroit, and they got it.
That's right.
So it just kind of turned back the clock and put that in the memory bank for the guys that were there. And it was a big game. It was like 3 or 4 games left in the season, and they had to win that, and they did.
Ray's coming up just after 5. Again, Noodles is off today. He's not feeling well. We might call up Noodles at some point. We might.
He's just full Harry Dunn.
Yeah, it's ugly. The whole household, apparently, is Harry Dunning it.
I was just shaving!
Yeah, that's Noodles right now.
A lot of shaving. Although, I guess if you're married and you got kids, you're not too worried about what Mary Swanson. Like, Steph is Mary Swanson. I don't think Noodles cares. If she knows all the details.
I don't know about you with your significant other. Are you like door open, come on in?
No.
Never, ever.
We've had these chats, man. Never.
That is something that I don't care how long you've been together, how close. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. And I don't want to smell it.
Well, that can be unavoidable at times. I would think if you were sharing a room for a week in Mexico. I have a feeling something might have happened.
Oh,
there.
Don't kid yourself. I did some damage myself.
Yeah.
Like, it gets greasy down there.
Right, it can. It's every man for himself.
It's a tough grind.
Yeah.
It is a tough, tough grind.
So, Ray's coming up. Tom Stirner coming up on the Raptors. They lost again to Detroit. They're in action tonight with the Knicks in town. Kawhi will not play.
The Pistons are the new Tampa Bay Devil Rays. What they were to the Jays. The Pistons are now going to be it for the
Dwayne
Raps.
Dwayne Casey, man. 3-0 against the Raps. 3-0.
Starting to piss me off.
So we'll get into that. And the worst guy in sports coming out of hibernation this week. We'll tell you that next.
3:00 in the morning, land from Mexico. And this young couple decides that they need to weave through everybody to get to the front of the line to get off the plane. I couldn't believe my own eyes.
Really, from the back of the plane.
And don't tell me you're getting on a connector at 3 a.m. You're not.
No.
It's the worst move I've ever seen.
Yeah, there's
the
a
lady,
protocol.
The wife, was like, excuse me, I got to catch up to. I go, where are you going? Why are you going ahead of me? You're right. Behind me.
Right.
It's the greasiest move of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a protocol.
And like everyone
knows it. Yeah. Everybody gets it. You get up and you wait your turn and then you get off the plane.
I will say this. It's stupid that everyone's like, hurry up and wait. They stand up. They got to get their luggage down. I don't know what the hell they're doing. But the guy that creeps up ahead of everybody is the biggest D-bag of life.
I don't think I've seen that move.
Like, I couldn't believe my own eyes. At 3 a.m, this guy had the audacity to just go ahead of everyone and go first in line. And his wife was like, I got to catch up. I go, where are you going? Why are you ahead of me?
Mm-hmm.
It was so greasy.
Well, that's probably why people get up to kind of block the lane. You know, if you get up and you start holding, you don't let anybody through. I mean, that's a tough move, and it might lead to a fight. You have to be prepared to fight if you're going to hold your spot on the plane and some guy tries to fight through and you don't let him through.
You got a problem on your hands.
Yeah, something's going to happen. Like, there's a chance you're going to be basically banned for life from ever getting on that airline again. But I think the explanation will be, accept it. You know, if you go back into the back with security, you go, this guy was trying to move up on the line.
If I had saw the guy coming, I would have given him the stiff arm and say, where do you think you're going? Go back to your seat right now.
Yeah.
The fiancé wouldn't have liked that, though.
No. Well, you can't. There's only so far you can go, right? That's stepping outside of your lane if you start doing that.
Yeah. It's just so greasy, though.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
No, it is. Well, you know what? Planes and flying, it leads to... People aren't themselves, you know. Like, people aren't normal in those situations.
Dude,
everyone's
such a good,
on
like, I loved where I went. We had a great vacation, but the act of traveling is just it ruins the experience. The lineups and this plane—I've never seen a plane this big. The one I came home on, and just everyone getting to customs, and it's so miserable, and like the lineups and gross coughing on people. It's just.
Yeah.
Like, I had almost told this kid sitting beside my fiance, he was riding a Harley, just legs spread out everywhere, just slob. And I had to tap him on the shoulder. I said, bud, like, pull it together here. What are you? Well, this is not your living room.
Oh. Well, people set up shop, right? Like, on long flights.
It's just so gross.
Think about it if you're flying to, like, Australia or something like that. Like, then it's like a totally different world. You're stuck on that plane.
No. I'll only ever
20
go
hours.
On anything more than an hour and 10 minutes, I'm getting a pod. I'll wait for a flight with a pod.
Yeah. Well, pods, I've never been on a pod. They look spectacular.
They're gorgeous. Gorgeous. Bobby Mack does that. He only flies on pods.
But he only goes to, like, New York.
Who cares? He's a pod guy.
Well, I would be, too.
Me, too.
That'd be great. Like, if NBC was paying for me to fly to New York.
Pod.
We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Hurricanes, April 2nd. It sounds like Carolina's going to get in because the Habs can't win now. The Habs can't score. They can't score. Now, I think they're 3 points out. Carolina is likely getting in here. Columbus is going to get in. Pittsburgh's going to get in.
Good for Carolina. I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
For a lot of years, people are like, this is my Cinderella team. They're going to make the playoffs. And it looks like they're going to do it.
Well, I believe it's the longest playoff drought in the NHL is Carolina. I don't think they've been in it for...
Nine
or 10 years. And one of the last times they were in, they actually won the Cup back in 06. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf was drafted in the 6th round, 132nd overall. So, bracket guy is coming out of hibernation this week. The worst guy of the sports calendar. Especially up here, where college basketball really isn't that big. You know, I think this is going to be a fun tournament because of Duke in particular. R.J. Barrett, Zion Williamson, they are worth the price of admission.
There is going to be a big-time spotlight on that.
Absolutely. And I've watched a lot more college basketball this year than I have in years, specifically for those two. And R.J. Barrett, obviously, with the Canadian content, and Zion Williamson is a freak. Like, he is a freak.
Yeah.
And he's going to be fun to watch. But it happens every year. March Madness, some guy reads one article or one Twitter thread, and all of a sudden he's got every upset picked, and it's going to happen. So
there's a contest where if you have a perfect bracket, you win $1 million. Didn't that phone company guy do that?
It was, what's
Richard
his name?
Richard Brandt or whatever, Richard...
No, Warren, what the hell's the guy's name?
No, it wasn't Warren.
Yeah, it was. It was the old, he used to be the second richest guy in the world. Berkshire Hathaway or whatever, he owns that company. What's his name, Al? Al's got no clue. All right. Anyway, I think it was $1 billion. I think it was he was going to give $1 billion out for a perfect bracket because
there's no such thing.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible to get a perfect bracket. Like you can't do it. The amount of combinations, there's like hundreds of millions of different combinations for every bracket. So what's his name? Warren Buffett is his name. Yeah. So he put up, I believe, $1 billion. I don't know if he's still doing that. But it's actually a great idea. We should put up $1 billion.
But couldn't some creepazoid just do hundreds and hundreds of brackets?
Well, that's the thing. There's got to be some sort of screening process because you would think a computer would be able to pump out every single combination and put your name on it. So I would assume that there's got to be like some sort of, you know, security, some sort of plan in place that doesn't allow for that type of activity where every person has to put their address, their full name, you know, social insurance or whatever, you know, some sort of detail that allows people to know or this company to know you have one bracket and anything more, you're not getting it.
Dude, you talked about the popularity of the bracket in Canada. I used to go to this place called Edwards Mill Bar and Grill in Raleigh, North Carolina. It was right outside my house. Lunchtime, nobody's at work. And they stay there all day. People don't work. It's like a holiday. I'm telling you, sports bars are rammed every single day. Nobody works.
Oh, especially down there in Carolina. That's college basketball territory. Like Duke and North Carolina are both one seeds. Like, they're both number one seeds. They're two of the top three or four teams in the country. And there's a bunch of Carolina representation and just the ACC in general. So, yeah, absolutely. Thursday and Friday when Duke and UNC are playing, it's the least productive, like, two-day stretch in America, I believe.
What kind of time do you think that Zion Williamson and Barrett are doing at Duke?
The thing is, those guys would be so big and so noticeable. Like, it would be impossible for them to blend in anywhere. Because they're 6'7".
280. One of them's 280.
Yeah, Zion Williamson's 280. 6'7", 280 pounds.
I don't know. You would have to think he is having the time of his life.
He should be. 18, 19 years old. You're running that program. Like, that whole campus revolves around those two guys. And that whole team. Like, the Blue Devils, they are everything at Duke. But that's the thing about basketball players. Like, by nature, they're all huge.
How much do you think they care about school? Do you think they actually go to
class? Well, for the two of them, nothing. Why would they?
Do they even go to class?
Because
they're going 1-2 in the draft.
Yeah, they are. They're absolutely going 1-2 in the draft. If not, maybe Barrett goes 3 or 4, maybe. But both of them are lock NBA players. And the second they go pro, they're getting massive shoe deals. Zion Williamson... Like, Nike's going to hand him, like, $100 million the second he goes pro. The second he declares for the draft, Nike's going to be like, here's $100 million. And Adidas will be like, here's $100 million. And Under Armour, $100 million. Like, they're all just going to give him a blank check. I don't think R.J. Barrett will get the same amount of money. But he's not going to be far off that because he's going high, too. And whoever the Knicks end up picking, that kid is going to be a monster for branding. Monster, because the Knicks are going to finish with a top four pick. If they win the lottery, they're taking Williamson.
God, I watched some basketball when I was the Knicks are such a joke. They are such a joke. They've been so bad for so long. I mean, people long-suffering Leaf fans talk about how bad they were during those 10 years, early 2000s, whatever. The Knicks have been brutal forever.
They're still the worst team in the NBA. Like, they have been atrocious for 20 years.
20 years
since, like, Ewing was there and, you know, all, like...
Oh, they went through Isaiah Thomas at the top, and it was just a gong show.
It's been a mess for a long time. Although they beat the Lakers over the weekend. And LeBron, you missed out on this last week. LeBron was in town. The Lakers were here.
Oh, is this when he said to... he had the famous comment to Kawhi after the game. He's like, we'll be in touch.
We'll be in touch. And everyone's like, come on. The thing is, man, LeBron, and we had this debate on Friday... His reputation has taken such a hit.
Yeah.
Like, he is getting goofed on by people.
Yeah.
The great LeBron James has become a punchline for people.
And maybe he's got to a point where other guys talking about building a super team, maybe he's not in the equation anymore.
I wouldn't be surprised if he isn't. And if it doesn't happen this summer, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not like in 2 or 3 years guys are going to sign up to play with him. Because he's getting up, he's long in the tooth. It's been ugly. It's been embarrassing. I think he's embarrassed to be affiliated with this type of garbage in LA. I really do. Like, you look at his body language, it's ugly. He doesn't want to be associated with his
team.
What
about when he's injured? He was drinking on the sidelines, on the bench.
I think he
is. That is the grossest thing I've ever seen.
He's trying to disassociate himself from this mess. Like, that's what he's trying to do. But he's locked in. It's his mess. It's his team.
Yeah.
He's the best player in the world. He's supposed to be. And he's not playing like it. He's lazy defensively. He's taking nights off. You know, during timeouts, he's not even in the huddle.
Not even close to the same guy that led that garbage team in Cleveland to the playoffs.
A year ago. Forget the playoffs. The NBA Finals.
Yeah.
A year ago. You guys see, I keep saying you guys, thinking that Noodles in here, but Noodles is off today, as we pointed out.
He's full Harry Dunn.
He should be back tomorrow. But the Blue Jays, big news out of the Blue Jays camp today is that they're banning video games. Not completely in the clubhouse, but
why not completely? I know they're at the ballpark a long time, but why you could play Fortnite at home? It's your workplace, and I know it's a loungy environment, and guys have a lot of time to kill, but just do it at home. There's been a long time of baseball without Fortnite.
Yes, there has.
Do it at home.
That would be my stance.
Have a ping pong table, old school, whatever. But I understand they're millennials now. It's 2019, but I don't need my guys playing Fortnite in
well,
there.
Well, that's I think the counter to that would be every generation has had their distraction, right? Every generation had something else going on.
Yeah,
in the
my
clubhouse.
Generation was stay out of the bars and don't eat chicken wings.
Exactly. Now it's they're playing video games too much, but the bar wasn't in the locker room.
No,
you know,
it wasn't.
The wings weren't available to you an hour before the game.
The only thing I've ever seen in the locker room was a TV. We all watched golf, and there might have been a ping pong table.
Right.
That's it.
See, I think that's probably where it's going. This feels like just kind of the tip of the iceberg, where Montoyo, he's a new manager. He's an older guy. He's been around the game for a long time. It's not like he's a 30-year-old.
Yeah. And, hey, but you want your guys
trying,
to have fun. You want it to be a relaxed
that's
atmosphere.
That's the thing, right?
But you don't want it to turn into a video arcade.
No, and it seems more than obvious to me. Like, it's forget before the game. Like, there's a story coming out of Philly today where Carlos Santana last year went Tony Montana in the clubhouse where he busted up the clubhouse TV because players were back there playing Fortnite during the game. Like, when the roster was expanded to 40 men, there'd be kids coming up, and they weren't playing. They were sitting in the back of the clubhouse.
Well, apparently that was a problem in Toronto, too, last year.
Absolutely.
Where guys would just say, you know, Russell Martin and the boys would be like, see you later.
Well, but that's your problem, is that by all accounts, and again, it's not necessarily corroborated, but wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Russell Martin was back there. Russell Martin's 35 years old. He's been in the league for 12 years, more than that. This guy's addicted to playing Fortnite during the game? No wonder he wasn't playing in September. You know, no wonder they wanted him out of here, and they said, we'll pay whatever we have to get you out of here. We can't have you, a veteran, who's supposed to be setting a standard here, playing
Fortnite
during the game.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's to me, I can't even wrap my head around the idea of playing a video game during the game. But, guys, you know, the clubhouse, the baseball world is different. It's very relaxed. It's very laid back. I think Charlie Montoyo, he's trying to ease into this. He doesn't want to come off as like a dictator. You know, another story over the weekend was he went up to Randall Grichuk and essentially asked for his permission to bat leadoff, asked him if he would be comfortable batting leadoff, which, again, my nature in any other sport would be, sorry, you're batting leadoff because I told you.
Not even sorry. You're batting leadoff.
You're batting leadoff because I told you.
That's right.
You know, like, who do you think you are anyway? You're Randall Grichuk. You're not Mike Trout.
No.
But this is the baseball world. And Montoyo is, you know, he's got some vets that he's trying to appease. He's got some young guys. He doesn't want to come off as a dictator, like I said, which I understand.
You don't have to be a dictator, but you earn the respect of the locker room. You don't earn it by going up and asking people for permission for a position in the lineup.
And I might be phrasing that improperly, but that's how, you know, it was relayed to me across Twitter and via email and everything. I'm not down in Dunedin, but by all accounts, over the weekend, there was a conversation between Montoyo and Grichuk, and the discussion revolved around him batting leadoff. And effectively asking him, you know, do you think you're going to be comfortable with that? I get it. Leadoff is a very unique position. It is different. It does have a different vibe to it. But still.
Yeah, you don't earn respect. You tell him.
This is where we want you.
Braden Point was 5 minutes late for a meeting with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Sorry, you're not playing tonight.
Well,
for a lot of times, sometimes a coach will pull you inside and say, man, you put me in a tough spot here. You're our best player. And what the hell do you want me to do with you? Like, if it was a playoff game, it's almost like you'd have to play him. But he said to him, you're not playing.
Well, do you think at some point this year someone is going to be taken out of the lineup last minute because he was caught playing Fortnite after 6 o'clock? I do. I think it should, because I feel like someone's going to break that rule. Like, who's going to be policing the Fortnite rule an hour before first pitch.
Wouldn't you have to be stupid to be the one in there playing Fortnite, getting someone else saying, hey, let's play Fortnite, when you know that what the consequences are? Who's dumb enough to do that?
Well, who's dumb enough to show up late to a practice when that's all you got to do for a living?
I agree.
Is show up for a 10 a.m. practice, you know, or whatever it is. It happens. Guys do stupid things. You know, and if these guys are really addicted to it, you know, like if they're playing a game and they're, I don't know, whatever level they're on and it's 5:59, are they going to shut off the Xbox or the PS4? They're going to say, I'll keep playing until I get killed here. Like, how stupid does this sound?
I think it's a reality.
I've had
a difficult time digesting that we're even having this conversation. I have never played 1 second of Fortnite in my life.
Me neither.
And I have no frigging idea how it could be such a life-consuming thing for these guys. I have no idea.
Well, me neither. I mean, we're both ignorant to it, and I get it's a really popular game.
Hey, everybody's got their own thing.
But how far away do you think we are in pro sports, and how would this go over? Because you got to remember, these are men, although they're not acting like men. If they're addicted to playing Fortnite during the game, that's not very mature. You got a problem on your hands. But how far are we from either in a clubhouse, a dressing room, a locker room, from them saying, don't even bring your phones in? Like, we don't want anything in here. Keep it outside. There's a lot of dressing rooms. You walk in, you get into your gitch or whatever in the hockey world. Then you walk in and you're in the locker room. How far away are we from rules where you can't have any technology in the clubhouse, the locker room?
That would be a tough one.
Would that go over well?
I actually support it. I would be fine with it. Because you know what guys are like. They're on Twitter. They're checking what people are saying about them. They're on Instagram.
Absolutely. And they could be doing something else. They're getting paid a fortune to prepare.
Well, there's been stories of players liking stuff on Instagram or Twitter during the games.
During the games.
So they're popping into the clubhouse, going into their phone and checking stuff out. It's like, how dumb are you?
It's so stupid.
It's so stupid.
Yeah. And listen, I know you're not going to spend every waking second watching tape or stretching or in the cage or fielding ground balls or whatever, but a couple of hours before the game, I don't think that's unreasonable. I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest, all right, get your mind in the game, go watch some tape, go get in the cage, get warmed up, you know, interact with your teammates, get off Fortnite. But this is where we're at in pro sports. It's not only going to be Toronto.
Let's take a little break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you about my sexy move down in Cancun. So at this resort I was at, any kind of contest, you know, shooting basketball, whatever, you had to say your name, where you're from, and do a sexy pose. So I'm like, I don't know. Like most guys, like, flex their biceps. But I was up early. Like, I was up at, like, in line early.
Right.
And my sexy move got away from me quickly. Because I just did something and people were like, ooh. That was probably not recommended.
Really? Were there kids around? Or?
No.
So were you at like a sandals or something?
No, it was adults only. All inclusive. Only adults.
That's the way to go if you can pull it off.
And there was an interesting nugget that I did not see coming. Caught me off guard.
Was there like a nude beach?
No. Four channels on the TV, all Brazzers.
No way.
Free of charge.
What?
I swear I'd never seen anything like it. And I can just imagine some of those old codgers down at the pool when they get in there flipping through the channels.
So was it like Spanish Brazzers?
No, sir.
It was all English.
All English, all you want.
Any local TV or what? Not that you would
watch
that anyway.
It was brutal TV. Like, I was looking for
sport.
You're
not down there to watch TV anyway.
I was in my room, little nap before dinner, and then sleep.
Would you ever do one of the nude resorts? Like, that's a big commitment.
You can only do a nude resort if you're a male, if you're packing heat. That is my belief.
Yeah. I don't think that's actually a prerequisite. I'm pretty sure you could go regardless of what's going on.
That is the only way in my mind. If you're a male, you have to be
packing. It's just such a different mentality to live in that world. Like, the nudist world is such a different world. I've never met a nudist.
I don't want to see somebody's balls on the beach. I don't want to see it. I don't ever want to see that. I would never do a nudist beach. Like, just gross.
No, I'm not seeking it out either.
No.
But
I
don't think you
give
can be
us
a
some feedback, listeners. Like, is there a cool one? One that's not gross?
No. I don't think you can be a nudist in Canada. Like, you can't just, it's too cold up here all the time. Right? Like, you could never be a fully committed nudist in this country.
But what I don't get is, like, if you're at a nudist place, apparently there were some nude beaches down there, but at a nudist resort, like, are you going to eat dinner naked?
I don't know how that works.
Like, because that would, I would go nuts.
That's tough. That's really tough.
Yeah. Squeezing by in a chair? No way.
Sorry, I requested a booth. We don't have that for you. No. You're going to be right over here.
You couldn't do that. Stool. They couldn't go naked to dinner because their ass would be all over the seats.
I kind of think it's just all, you're down there and the next time you put on clothes is when you're leaving the resort.
We got to do some research.
Okay. Al, you've got a profile, a TSN profile. Look it up on your computer and send us the heat. Ray's coming up in about 10 minutes back into the Maple Leafs and whatever happened last week. How do they recover? We'll see what Ray says about it. We'll get back into the Garrett Sparks comments from Saturday night. Is there any truth to it? How do we feel about the messenger? And the Raptors are in action tonight. Load management for Kawhi, I don't think they need him anyway. The Knicks are in town. We'll tee that up. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.